You know, Pastor Phil used to say, after worship like that, we've already had church, we could probably just go home. But I never, ever, ever saw him let us go home. So I'm going to follow in his footsteps. You aren't going home. This morning, I recount so many stories of God's goodness. So many stories of God's goodness. Not only here at Valley, but across the globe, watching him come through time and time and time again. As Sean and Angel were sharing, and he mentioned that God has the cattle on 1,000 hills. It was a metaphor. It just means he owns all the cattle. I was reminded of a story of Dallas Theological Seminary in the early days, coming together, the board of directors coming together for that little tiny seminary at that point. And they, none of the teachers were accepting any funds for teaching. They were doing it for free. Before the Lord, they were doing that. And, you know, they're in Dallas, that's Texas, that's cattle country. There's a lot of oil there too, oil and cattle. I don't know how that works, but a lot of that. And as they met, the president of that university said, "Men, if we don't get some funds, we're going to have to shut the seminary down." And they began to pray. Dr. Schaefer began to pray. They began to pray in that room. And one of the men prayed that prayer. He says, "Lord, if you've got the cattle on 1,000 hills, could you just sell a few cattle and send the money our direction?" And in the middle of that prayer meeting, the secretary came in from out front and interrupted Dr. Schaefer. "Dr. Schaefer, there's this man out here. I've never met him. I've never seen him. He's not related to us in any fashion. But he came in. He's a huge cattle rancher." And as he talked to Dr. Schaefer, he says, "Dr. Schaefer, I just sold a bunch of cattle. And God has blessed me with all this money. And I'm here to give you a portion of the money that he gave to me." And it met the need of Dallas Theological Seminary. That seminary just celebrated 100 years in existence. And it's still going strong. It's just one story I know of about God's goodness. About, I titled the sermon, I haven't even started yet, "Opening the Windows of Heaven." There's a way you can open up the windows of heaven in this area of resources and finances. There's a way of doing that. And I titled it that because it just made sense to me. I've watched Valley Bible Church obey the passage and watch God open the windows of heaven to us. How many of you would say he's opened the windows of heaven to you? Amen. Amen. Another story I'll share before I preach. I'm not preaching yet. That'll start when I read the passage. I'm supposed to do this in 30 minutes. I told Rebecca, I texted her last night, said, "I'm planning on only doing 30 minutes. And her, "Oh, ye of little faith," response was, "I'll believe it when I see it." So I'm warning you, I haven't started preaching yet. This is just a warm-up. There was a time at Valley where I happened to be privileged to be in the room when this took place. But Tim Volstrom was our executive pastor at that time, and Pastor Phil was our senior lead pastor, founding pastor. And we were in a room together, the three of us. And we had $70,000 in bills that we could not pay. This is what, Tim, was that about 10 years ago now? Approximately 10 years ago. And when we said that we were in the red, we truly were in the red. We were $70,000 in the hole, and not, no money, didn't know what we were going to do. You know what we did? We did exactly what Dr. Schaefer did. We started praying. And I believe Pastor brought up Chronicles where he says that Jehoshaphat said when the army was coming against them, it says that Jehoshaphat, when the army, two armies, two nations coming against that little nation of Israel, you think that what's going on in the Gaza Strip is anything that God can't take care of? He's promised to take care of Israel. He gave Israel that land. And he will still take care of them. All the other nations will fall apart, but that Israel will be God's chosen one. They have been from the beginning. And he's promised them some things that if you look in Scripture, you'll see that's not going to happen. Regardless if you got students in this country protesting and saying the Palestinians have the right to attack Israel. Too political, sorry. But Jehoshaphat, when faced, one of his runners came to him, there's this huge army coming against us. You know what he did first? He didn't call his generals together and say, start sharpening up your swords and get your spears and arrows ready. No, he went right to the Lord. And this was the prayer. And it's been our prayer here at Valley many times. Lord, we don't know what to do. We have no idea what to do against the enemy that's coming against us. But our eyes will remain on you. We were praying that. Ron Hughes was our administrator at that time. And I remember I was sitting on the couch in Pastor Phil's office, and all of a sudden that door opened, and here comes Ron. And we're praying. And finally, we finished up. And Ron said, hey, I just wanted to let you guys know something. I was just opening up the mail. We're like, Lord, we got a $70,000 bill here. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you, the one that can take care of a $70,000 bill. Ron said, I was opening up this mail that came in, and there was a $70,000 check written to Valley Bible Church in the mail. Not 71 or 81, because you know what happens if you get too much money, you stop depending on God. But enough to meet the needs of our church. Now, here's the interesting thing. I don't think we've ever been in that circumstance again since. I don't believe we've ever been in that spot since. Because God uses his people, his obedient people, to open up the windows of heaven to us. Amen? All right. Now I've got about 30 minutes. And I will do my best. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 is where I'm going to settle down. And I know this is an Old Testament passage, but I believe with all my heart that it still speaks today. I think it's still true today. And if you don't believe that, go back and listen to what Pastor Todd spoke on last week, because the exact same principle is at work. Listen up. For those of you who aren't familiar, you go to the New Testament, the beginning of the New Testament, that's Matthew, and you go one book backwards, and you'll be in Malachi. Or some call it the Italian book, Malachi. But I don't think it's really called that. It's called Malachi. Here we go, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. And I'm going to stop right there. I know that in the New Testament, it does not mention tithes. Okay, I went on YouTube the other day, and I was looking. You know how many people are saying that tithing is not for the New Testament saints? that if you're being told that you should tithe, that's not correct. I'm like, oh, for crying out loud. You got to be kidding me. You know, I would say you're under grace. You're under a grace principle before God. 10% is the minimum. And all of the ones that were given said amen. It's the minimal way of looking at things. And you notice he says, in tithes and offerings. You know what the Jewish people, the Israelites, were giving in the Old Testament during the passage here? They were giving about 19% of their income in tithes and offerings. What does he say? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. The whole nation of you, all of them are robbing me. You're all robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. You ever been under that type of blessing with the Lord? Where just everything you touch just goes really well. I would challenge you to go back and look at what your relationship with was like with him during that period of time. What's your relationship like with him today as he overflows blessings in your life? Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. You see here in Malachi that there was a major problem going on. They were robbing God. You say, that's a major problem. That's a major problem. It's a huge problem. You're robbing God. How were they robbing him? They're withholding their tithes and offerings. They're giving it to something else, more than likely themselves. But it wasn't just a matter of finances. It wasn't just that. That wasn't the real problem. The main problem was they had a heart issue. They had a spiritual heart issue. They were walking away from God. They were no longer acknowledging him for what he had given to them. You see, when you go to work, who gave you that job you go to? God did. Who allowed you the skills? God did. Who allows you to make more money than you're really worth? God does. And now what do? I'm going to hold on to all of it. That doesn't quite work out. Well, that's when he says that you're robbing him. The problem is identified early in the passage. First two verses, you're robbing me. You're taking from me. You're not giving me back. The symptom is much deeper, though. As we said, it's a heart issue. Withholding finances from God that he intended would sustain his house, his priesthood, and the contract of living on his property under his blessing. Robbing God of what was due him. That's what they were doing. First Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 says this, now concerning the collection for the saints, not the ain'ts, the saints, concerning the collection of from the believers, the saints, don't think of saint whoever, I can't even name a saint right now, all of you are saints, everybody that's believed in Jesus Christ and put faith in him, you're a believer, you're considered a saint. That's what he's saying. So the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia to, so do you also. on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper. So according to what you get in income, you set aside first day, first fruits. Make God number one. Please, someone tell me, look in your Bible for me and show me where God says he'll be number two in any area of your life. Show it to me. You can't show it to me. I already know that, and so do you. He's got to be number one. He's being number one in your marriage. If you put God number one in your marriage, you'll have the best marriage you could ever have. You put God in your finances, he'll meet every need you have financially. He won't make you Bill Gates. You don't want to be Bill Gates. I want to be Larry Howard and be under the blessing that's overflowing, he promises. You don't want to be Larry Howard, you want to be you, but you get what I'm saying. So what's the problem when you rob God? What happens? There's suffering involved in it. Isn't there? Verse 9, you're cursed with a curse. Do you want to live under a curse? This is what he's saying. You're under a curse right now because you've been robbing me. That's the kind of curse you don't want to be on or under. You don't want to be under a curse with God. You can't hide. You can't escape it. It's going to follow you wherever you go. It's a divine curse. And it's on their finances, on their resources. You see, all of you have resources. Don't you? You all have resources. You got in a car and drove here today. You put gasoline in it. You ate. Obviously, some of you ate. Just take a look at how many donuts got eaten this morning. I can say that because I had that whole thing where I couldn't eat for 3 months. You all have resources. Don't forget the source of your resources. Some of you got that. I'm going to say that again so the rest of you can catch up. Don't forget the source of your resources. The source is God. He says, I believe it's over in James, he says that he is the giver of all good things. Not some. Everything you have in your life that's good, he gave it to you. He allowed it to come into your life. Now, I want to say this. It's probably too late for me to say it. This sermon is not meant to beat you up in any way, shape, or form. It isn't. That's not the intent. The intent is, if you're robbing God, you're going to have a problem with your resources. All right? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you right now. I'm trying my best. Because I want the windows of heaven open to every one of you. Because, listen, the connotation is this. If you're robbing God, the windows of heaven are closed. So you're not living under his blessing. You're not living under that overflow. And there's nobody under our care as pastors, as elders, that we don't want to be seen and be able to say, God has thrown open the windows of heaven to me. But let me tell you something. Valley Bible Church, I've been around here for 52, 53, whatever it is. I've been here a long time. I have watched these people in this building understand this principle. I've watched it, and I've watched him bless your lives. I've watched him throw open the windows of heaven to you. There's so many stories in the room. We don't let everybody share. We don't have time. But if I could walk through, I could start talking about different people in the room that I've met, that I know. I remember when they first came to Valley and the job they had and how God enriched them and gave them a different job and more resources. And they kept giving and the resources got bigger and bigger and bigger. It's incredible to me. And I don't believe in prosperity gospel, but I do believe in the Word of God. So they were suffering. They were suffering because they truly were robbing God. They were under divine curse. Do you feel sometimes that the windows of heaven are closed to you and your family? You ever feel that way? Things keep breaking. You only had that dishwasher for 3 years and it's fallen apart. And you say, well, that's just how they make them nowadays. That may be true, but I know some people that have bought that same dishwasher and it's still going 10 years later. Can't ever seem to get out of debt. You're working two jobs, you're working all the overtime you can, and you never can get out of debt. Boss is hard on you. You need a better job. Things are tough out there. Oh, Pastor, I get all that. Who's in charge of your boss? Who's in charge of your resources? God, he's the source of all resources. I watched him do stuff in my life that there's no other explanation except but God. There's no other explanation. There's a divine prescription here in verses 10 through 12 on how to get out from underneath the curse. How to get out from underneath that. Listen, look at this. I'm telling you, when I was reading, I've done this passage, I preached this passage to you before. And I was looking at it again and I'm like, isn't God a redeemer? He just is constantly redeeming us. He's a constant forgiver of the sins that you've done against him. He's already paid the price through his son. It's already done, but he's a constantly redeeming. Here you are, you're robbing me. How do you feel about somebody that comes in your house and steals you blind? You inviting them back in for dinner the next night? Probably not. Or if you do, you're locking everything down, putting crazy glue on it, doing something. Well, look what he does. Look what God does. I have a prescription for what's ailing you. You're under a curse. It's my curse. I put you under a curse. Who better to remove the curse than the one who put him under the curse? What's he say? Bring the whole tithe. Is that what yours says? That's what mine says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Take care of my house first. And what's in his house? The priest, the orphans, the widows, the missionaries in the modern day terminology. All of these different things, the workers, the different ones that work here, the different buildings that we're having to pay for and take care of. Bring it into my house. And then, I love this. It's the only place I know of in Scripture where God says to test him. And he says it. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. What does he say? This you can test me in this. When you bring it in, watch out. When you bring it in, when you get right with me spiritually, if your heart gets out of shape, if you're bent, if your heart's going the other way, and you suddenly align with God, and you start to do what he says to do, bring the whole tithe. He's talking about finances, by the way. Just so you know, I have some people will tell me, oh, you know, he'll bless you in other ways. Oh, he does. Yes, he does. But in this passage, he's talking about finances. In 1 Corinthians that Todd did last week, he's talking about finances. Is that right, Todd? Talking money, talking finances. Oh, we don't talk about money. We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about our marriages. Yes, you do. You talk about all of that stuff. Just when we start talking about it in church, you don't want us to talk about money. My grandpa said this, and you've heard it. It's probably been said. I've said it multiple times in the pulpit. But you know how you can tell when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs? You know how you can tell which one got hit? That's the one that yelps. Oh, Okay. All right, I just thought I'd tell you that. That's not really very biblical, but. But you notice here that God is being abused by the hearts that have turned away from him. But he's redemptive. He says, if you change your ways, if you would change your ways, if you would bring the full tithe into the storehouse of God the way it's intended to be, and test me now in this, test him today, test him right now. He's saying, test me in this and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Pour out sounds like liquid to me. Like part of the curse may have been they were in a drought. Ah, they had a few droughts back in those times in the Old Testament. And he's saying, if you bring the full tithe in, if you bring it into the house of the Lord like you're supposed to do, according to my law, according to my precepts, if you do that, just test me and see if I don't show up. Test me. I'm challenging you right now, today. I don't know. Some of you are giving, most of you are giving really well. That's fine. Test him. If you're not, if you haven't figured it out, test him. Test him. Try him out. See what happens if you give a little bit. It's not the amount, it's your heart he's after. It's your heart. Because when you don't give to the Lord, your heart's not aligned properly. You're not going to reach that full maturity as a Christian that you need to. This giving thing is a huge part of discipleship. It's a huge part of maturity. It's something that Pastor Larry will never be afraid to talk about with you. Never. Pastor Tim will never be afraid to talk about it with you, and neither will Todd. Because we understand that it's in the Bible, and God's made some really wonderful promises in there attached to giving. Attached to giving. What I don't want to do is wind up landing in heaven, and according to Hebrews 13:17, I will have to give an account of how I handled you individuals in this room. Amen? It says there to submit and obey your leaders and all that. That sounds really pretty and nice. If you're a pastor, you go, oh, they got to submit and obey. And then you realize, wait a minute, I got to give an account of how I treated them. What I don't want to do is land in heaven and have God say to me, hey, bozo, how come my people didn't get all the blessings that I intended for them to get? Well, what are you talking about, Lord? Oh, yeah, I had all these things I wanted to do for them. All these blessings I wanted to pour out in their lives. But you were afraid to tell them about the principle of giving. Oh, no, that ain't going to happen in my life. No. Mm-mm. I'm like, Lord, you put it in here, we're going to preach it. We're going to preach it. I don't care what it is. Right, Tim? Todd? If we ever change that, you throw us out of the building. I give you permission to throw them out especially. No, seriously, if we stop preaching something that's not in the Word, or if we're dodging passages, like we come up to this passage and just go right past it, you got the right to come and say, what's going on? Amen? Amen. God's prescription. His prescription for the curse and the problem that's got them sick is to return to him. Get your heart in the right spot. Get your heart in the right spot. Stop stealing from him. Don't withhold the first fruits from him. Stop withholding your bodies, your time, your life. Because I'm going to say, probably unequivocally, that finances a lot of times is the last thing that you start to really come around to maturity on. Well, I gave him my body. Did you really? You gave him your time. Really, you did. How's your offerings going? That's a different subject, Pastor. No, that's the same subject. God's promise. What's his promise? Come on, you guys can preach this yourself at this point. His promise is to open up the windows of heaven to you. And then look. He double whammies this thing. He double whammies it. if you will test me in this area, bring your full tithe in, then I will open up the windows to heaven. That sounds great, isn't it? That's a wonderful thing. We now have access to the resources from the source. We had access to that. Now, look what happens. Not only will I open up the windows of heaven to you, but I'll get rid of the devourer. Don't you see that? I'll pour out for you the blessings. The very next verse, 11, then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground. Your dishwasher is going to go 15 years past what it was supposed to. I knew a guy, listen to this, my goodness. I knew a guy that drove a car for so long without changing the oil. I'm serious. There's people in the room that know that I'm telling the truth. That when you took the oil cap off, nothing came out because it was so thick and sludgy. It wouldn't move. The oil just wouldn't move in there. I don't recommend you do that. Change your oil. But that car just kept running for that guy. And I happen to know he was a giver. He was a guy that was faithful in giving. He wasn't too faithful in maintaining his cars. But how long did that... He probably drove the car for 50,000 miles to get the oil to turn into sludge like that without changing it. Interesting stuff. That's your locust today. That's, you see, they were in a drought. He said, I'm going to pour out blessings on your life. And then not only am I going to do that, but the thing that devours the very blessing I'm giving you, I'm going to get rid of it too. I'm going to take care of that. It's the double whammy. It's the double blessing. I'm throwing open the windows to heaven, and then all your resources won't be devoured. Someone started to clap. You could clap for that. So the fruit, whatever it is that you're laboring for, will reach maturity. How many of you got a 403B? A lot of you do. Nothing like you, nothing you want more than to see that thing reach maturity. Well, maybe this might be a solution for you. Pour out more blessings than you can contain. I'm telling you, God has been so good to Valley Bible Church. He's been so good to Valley Bible Church as a whole. He's been so good to you as individuals. The stories I know of your lives, the stories I have in my own life. I got married. I wasn't even working. I was unemployed. I can't believe the girl said she'd marry me without a job. You talk about a blessing. But God just has grown us. And we didn't have this principle right at first. And the sooner you get this principle correct, you see, what we do is we are blessed by God, given resources by Him, and then we hang on to it. We get such a tight grip on it, we don't want to let go of it now. Oh, look what I got. I think you forgot where it came from when you start saying that. You forget where it came from when you start saying that. Who gave you what you have? That's the one telling you He'll throw the windows open to you. He's the source. So don't mistreat the source. You know the old story of the goose that laid the golden eggs. How many of you know that story? I mean, maybe that's beyond some of your ages. I got somebody in their 40s saying they've never heard that story. That's amazing to me. Basically, in the story, you take care of you don't sell the goose. He's laying golden eggs. You hang on to that. And you don't abuse that goose. You make sure you take care of that goose. Now, I don't want to compare God to a goose, but that's the deal. Take care of Him first. He's taking care of you. How many of you would give all the money you have right now today to know that you're going to be in heaven forever? Well, you already know that. If you place faith in Christ, you know that. All right. Pouring out more blessings than you can contain. God's resources, listen, His resources never run out. And I don't care what the economy is. How many of you remember 2007, 2008? How about that economy, huh? I'll tell you what you wanted to do. You wanted to be a builder during that period of time. No, you didn't. It was a horrible time. I was a general contractor during that period. Wasn't a real good time. You know how many blessings God poured out of my life during that period of time? It was incredible. Incredible. Like, my wife gets a raise at work when they're not giving raises out. And they gave her some raise. She never had a raise that big ever. It's like God said, just test me. Because see, we just kept giving. We just kept doing what we're supposed to. Hey, the Lord's blessing us with what He's blessed us. We're going to give on that. And He blessed us. And He's done the same thing for hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have come to Valley Bible Church. Some of them have gone on to heaven, like we talked earlier, like even Sean said it so well earlier about that he came here, and I think Randy said it too. Like, there's a lot of these people that gave to Valley Bible Church that I've never got to even meet. You know why? Because they're in heaven waiting for you. They're in heaven waiting for you. You're going to be part of the receiving line when we get there. They're going to walk through, and Randy's going to hug the neck of my grandpa, who he never met. He died in 1972. Randy wasn't even alive then. But he'll be able to hug that man's neck and tell him, thank you. Thank you that you gave to Little Valley Bible Church when it was down at Holy Ghost Hall. And because of that, I met Jesus Christ. And because of that, I've grown in the faith. Because of that, I learned how to give. Because of that, I learned to be discipled. I become more of a Christian man. Because of that, my children are saved. Because of that, I got grandkids in this place. Because of that, because somebody was willing to do the hard work at the beginning, they were impacting tomorrow at their day. And I've been around here long enough, and some of you have been around here long enough, we've watched how it's been impacting. We've gotten to see the tomorrow. What a blessing. What a blessing. And here's the thing. The final verse, all the nations will call you blessed. All those around us that see our facilities and see lives that have been changed, they say, something's different about your church. That's a church I think I could go to. A church that cares about a young couple who arrive here pregnant and needing help. You know what? It wasn't the pastors that did that necessarily. It was all you people. Yeah. It was the people of Valley Bible Church. Now, I said I was trying not to beat anybody up with this. But it's amazing that he says there, in that last verse, he says, the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land. You will have joy. You will have peace. You'll have understanding of what it means to follow after the Lord, even in your finances. So, all of that is said because I'm super encouraged by it. I love this passage. I love it. I love the passage. I love 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. I love almost every passage that has something to do with giving. Because I just watch God bless it. When you do it appropriately, when you do it in accordance with His will, when you do it according to his scriptures. I'm not doing it because I'm going to get a return on the investment. If that's your idea, probably not going to work out too good for you. I give back to him because he said it's a requirement from him. And he loved me enough to send his son to die for me. And I'm going to love him enough back to say, whatever you want, Lord. And look, he's blessing again. He blessed you to be able to give. You give and he blesses you more. Right? I think Todd did that last week. I about shouted in the back when he started talking about, and God gave and God gave and God gave and he gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. He just keeps doing it. And even when you're in sin against him, what's he do? He gives forgiveness. And he gives you a way out of it. You're under a curse. The locusts are eating your crops. Just return back to me and be obedient, and I will bless your life. Obedience to God always leads to blessing. Write that down. Obedience to God always leads to blessing. By way of encouragement, Valley Bible Church, we have found the core members of this church, we have found you've discovered this principle. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for being givers. That some of you were giving when I couldn't. I'm looking at a lady that I know gives, been given for years to Valley Bible Church. When I had little kids at home and were trying to figure out how to give, she didn't look at me and say, well, he's not giving, I'm not going to. She looked at what the Word of God said and she says, I got to keep giving. I think it's a statement we used to make, like, I believe I'll run on. If you don't want to be obedient, if you don't want to do it, I believe I'll run on. And the song says this, I believe I'll run on because I know what the Lord is going to do. I believe I'll run on because I know what the Lord is going to do. You know what he's going to do? He's coming back, people. He's coming back. He's coming back. He is. Whether you're looking for him or not, he's coming back. So I encourage you. The encouragement is that if you find yourself in the condition of those first two verses, you find yourself, when you look at it really honestly, you realize, you know what? I've been robbing God. Okay? If that's your condition, that's it. You might be under a little curse, but he'll redeem you out of it. Just bring the tithe in, bring the offering, bring it. Not to me, not to Valley Bible. You bring your offering before the Lord. Amen. If you're bringing it because you want us to look at it and see how well you did, you're bringing it for the wrong reason. A lot of times people that want you to see what they did, it's because they probably had a whole lot more they could have done. Seen that several times too. All right, I'm done. They're going to come sing a song. Tonight, if you have not done an RSVP for tonight's dinner, as is really, Valley's very famous for doing things at the very last second, I'll promise you that. We happen to have a few spaces available still. And so if you would see Eileen Lindway, she'll be out in the lobby. If you want to attend that tonight, maybe you didn't get an invitation in the mail. We tried to send them to everybody, I promise. We've done blanket invitations to all of you. But if you want to attend tonight, please see her. I think we have about 40 or I don't know how many spaces we have left, actually. But we have some. And come out. Maybe tonight. Maybe today. Maybe right now. It's an inward look, people. It's a look in the mirror. I'm not looking at any of you when I preach this stuff. I don't know what you give and what you don't give. I'm asking you to look in the mirror. What do you see looking back? Do you fall in one of these categories? If you fall in the category of God's open the windows of heaven, praise God for you. We thank you. We thank the Lord for you. We want you to receive the open window of his blessing poured over you to overflowing. Come and join us tonight if you haven't signed up. You want a good meal, want to have some fellowship and some fun. We even got a harpist playing tonight, I think, or something. Somebody playing a harp. It'll be beautiful. Wonderful time. Love to fellowship with you. We're going to sing a song that Rebecca says, Larry, I think after this sermon, you should sing this. I'll say yes. How many of you could say, I'll say yes? Are you holding back in some area? You're saying yes out on the outward, but inward you're saying no. Oh, would to God you'd stand on your feet with us and sing.